Hello everyone, my name is Dina and you're listening to Slavsvitem, a podcast about Slavic languages. Today, I spoke to Professor Franz Marušić from the University of Nova Gorica. So, let's dive in. Thank you very much for being here. And my first question for you would be to tell us briefly about the current researches of yours. And what are you working on at the moment?
So we are working, when I said we, because we meant as a team, working on a couple of things. We have recently just received a grant together with linguists from Brno, where we are going to study clitics or comparing Slovenian and Czech clitics, but not only comparing them, but then also studying the properties of clitics as such. Now, clitics are these elusive linguistic elements which behave like words but on one side and then aren't really independent words on the other side, and then they also behave in very strange ways, because in some ways they seem to respect all the relevant linguistic or syntactic laws, but then on the other side they behave more like affixes and or parts of words. So our aim was now to spend some time to do a couple of a series of experiments, trying to figure out a little bit more in detail the certain properties of these clitics, and then also to basically develop some model that would hopefully be a better fit for Czech and Slovenian clitics, which are very similar, I should add. We have just finished a project together with some linguists in Graz, where we were studying Slovenian and Serbo-Croatian verbs, or basically verbal morphology. We have developed a large database of Slovenian verbs and Serbo-Croatian verbs and listed a bunch of properties next to each of the verbs, which in this database allows us to see certain correlations between various properties of these verbs. But I'm also doing things, outside of, funded projects. So, one of the things we have just now presented at a conference with my colleague Rok Žalcer was looking at Slovenian adverbs and how they behave, or what their basically morphological shape can tell us about their syntactic behavior.
So it's not only syntax that you're working on,
it's primarily syntax, but syntax extends from, in some understandings of syntax or morphology, then syntax extends into morphology, or in some understanding of syntax covers both orthomorphology. So it's not, anyway, syntax would extend from, not just positioning words, independent words together, but also in positioning, smallest linguistic elements, which would be morphemes, next to each other. So, of course, it extends beyond syntax, but, then it's not clear where the limits of syntax are in this case anyway.
Okay, let's jump to the concrete examples and the position and the role of Slovene definite article ta. One of your papers is about that, and what can you tell me about the position of this definite article, and how does it differ from the demonstrative pronoun? Where in the syntax is it found?
So the Slovenian definite article is peculiar and or special in many respects, right? So it's not clear that it is okay to call it a definite article, because when one says a definite article, one typically thinks of Germanic, so German or English or Romance definite articles, which are also always definite articles inside of a noun phrase, that basically when you have a noun, then you can make it a definite noun. So you have a definite reference. You don't mean about any table, but you mean about some particular table that you have in mind. Now, this Slovenian definite article does not appear on nouns alone. It appears on adjectives. So, and it's also not like the definite article of Macedonian or Bulgarian, which is closer to the Romance or Germanic or Greek definite articles. So it's strange. I mean, it's different in this respect that it seems to be positioned inside of the adjectival phrase. Or, I mean, in order to use it, one needs to use an adjective in Slovenian. You cannot use the same definite article next to a noun alone, a bare noun. So even though it has the shape, you know, or at least the resemblance of a demonstrative, it's different also because, well, demonstratives in Slovenian are stressed. They carry their own stress. So each demonstrative is an independent word of its own. Ta, on the other hand, is a clitic, like I said previously, right? Clitics are, well, I did not say what clitics are, but so clitics are these elements that do not carry their own stress and they are not really independent words. They need a host, so a word next to it, which with which they join together and then basically which allows them to be pronounceable. So this definite article is a has the shape of a demonstrative, but it doesn't have its own stress, and it also doesn't have any extra inflectional morphology. So it's just a plain ta unstressed. Because it's like that, it then it requires some host, but the host is always an adjective, never a noun. The other peculiarity is that it's also, it can appear inside of a noun phrase, an indefinite noun phrase. So it's not the case that it makes the noun phrase definite, because you can say something like enta hiter auto, which means the fast car. I use the for just to name the definite, the Slovenian definite article, but it's not, as I said, it's not the same thing. So inside of the indefinite noun phrase, a fast car, in Slovenia you could put one of these ta definite articles. Which means that, yeah, the noun phrase, it did not make the noun phrase definite. So, yeah, it seems to be a very sort of a fairly widespread thing in Slovenian, but only in the colloquial language. It never made it to the standard language, even though it existed in Slovenian already from the 15th, 16th century. So I think it already exists. I mean, it's an old thing, you know, it does not... it's not a recent invention. At some point, I believe it was the reason why it was never included in the standard languages is that it was always seen as a borrowing from German. But then obviously it's not clear that it is a borrowing, or it might be actually that it is not a borrowing from German because it's not a definite article on bare nouns. This guy, there was a linguist, Stanislaw Skrabec, in the 19th century, which already said that it's funny how people claim this is borrowing from German, but it's not really borrowing from German because it doesn't have these properties of the definite article that we know from these other languages. But regardless of that, no, so it persists in the colloquial language, it's very widely used, never made it to the standard language. But yeah, I think we all know it, we all use it, and it's different from the regular definite article that we know from English or German.
When I started learning Slovene, I never realized that it's only a part of colloquial language. And people like, so I was in school, I was with a bunch of teenagers, and people are always writing it together with the noun. I think it's like in colloquial language when people write each other messages or things like that. So it took me a long time to realize what it actually means and that it's only like I had school works, school projects where I wrote it together with the noun or with the adverb because then I realized that it's only a part of colloquial language and it's not something that you can really put in schoolwork. It can become a really confusing thing.
It's one of these things. It's really throughout Slovenia it's part of the colloquial language because I mean there are many dialectal properties, you know, many dialectal features that are part of the various dialects that are not part of the standard, but this one seems to be really widespread in this
system. But definitely not something that you can include in your schoolwork. I learned that. Okay, can you tell us more about the scrambling of finite and non-finite clauses. What exactly does it mean, scrambling of finite and non-finite clauses?
Yeah, this one is a little bit more complicated. Scrambling is this net term for a phenomena where, so it's a more technical name for free word order, basically. What we used to say, it's just free word order, then so scrambling is one of the processes that can explain free word order. Maybe I should put it like that. Now, this scrambling from the finite and non-finite clauses differ in respect to whether they allow scrambling out of them. So while it is very easy to scramble and to move an object, so if you have a non-finite complement clause, something like John forgot to buy shoes, then these shoes can move around the entire sentence very easily. So in a way, they would scramble out of the non-finite clause in Slovenian, or most likely most Slavic languages. But for finite clauses, so something that has a proper complementizer and finite agreement on the inside of the embedded complement clause, these things is not possible. If you say, I forgot that John bought shoes. No, the shoes from inside of that John bought shoes cannot move out, or it's because they're locked inside of this finite clause. So this suggests that the boundary between the two clauses, between finite and non-finite clauses, is very different.
Can we just give the examples in Slovene as well? So it would be...
So for example, the non-finite clause would be pozabil, so he forgot to buy shoes, would be something like he pozabil je kupiti čevlje, and you can easily scramble that and say čevlje je pozabil kupiti. The other one is Janez je pozabil da je Peter kupil čevlje, but you could not say čevlje je Janez pozabil da je Peter. Because it's so ungrammatical, because it is ungrammatical, it's hard to even say it, right? So I said, pozabil je, da je Janez kupil čevlje. Čevlje je pozabil, da je Janez kupil, which does not mean what it was meant to mean by just moving the object from the embedded finite clause.
We talked in the beginning, we talked about your research, and I saw that you're doing a coordinated research in the experimental morphosyntax of Slavic languages. Is this the research that you were talking about in the beginning? Is that the one?
No. So this coordinated research in experimental morphosyntax of South Slavic languages is really it's a thing that goes on for already 10 years maybe, and it started off by, we were looking at conjunct agreement, which means agreement with coordinated subjects. So when you have, verbs always agree with the subject, because the subject has always clear, typically it's very clear what kind of features it has, so that the verb knows what to agree with. But if you have a coordinated subject like a horse and a cow, so one is female, one is male, then it's not clear what the agreement should be, because a combination of a male and a female is not clear whether it's male or female. Now, in some cases, when male gender is included, then typically it seems that male dominates, but if you combine a feminine and a neuter, so something like krave and teleta, so cows and calves, then there is no reason to assume that the joint group of cows and calves is either neuter or feminine. It truly, there is no way to decide. So we noticed that in Slovenian, we first noticed that in Slovenian, no, but actually this phenomenon has been described in the literature already, in the Slovenian literature, and Serbo-Croatian literature already in the 50s and earlier. But anyway, we noticed that we did a series of experiments in Slovenian, and we noticed that the most frequent strategy for determining agreement in these cases is to use the properties of the closest noun. So when you say cows and calves are grazing, it would be calves that are dominated that grazing would agree with. If you say calves and cows are grazing, then cows would dominate the agreement. So well, this is interesting because in syntax, linear precedence tends not to, at least in generative grammar that I do or I am part of, linear precedence does not play a crucial role. It's more about structure and hierarchy. So, but in this case, it was very clear that structure and hierarchy do not play this role that one would expect. So once we finished the Slovenian experiment, we set out to say, well, you know, because we heard from colleagues speaking Serbo-Croatian that something very similar exists, if not the same thing, exists also in Serbo-Croatian. So we contacted people. I initiated this with colleague Andrew Nevins from University College London. And then we went out and asked people in the various parts of former Yugoslavia. So we asked people in Zagreb, we asked people in Zadar, in Sarajevo, in Niš and Novi Sad. So to cover basically the two dialects of Croatian, right, the coastal Dalmatian region, the central region of Zagreb, Bosnia, to cover Bosnia, to cover two dialects in Serbia, South Serbia and North Serbia. And it turned out that yes, this does exist in entire West Slavic language area, but there were some interesting differences. No, so there were also differences in the sense that this closest conjunct agreement, so agreement with the closest noun phrase to the verb, is just one of the three strategies. Because one strategy was also just choosing always masculine agreement regardless of the combination. And one option was then to go for the structurally highest agreement inside of the coordination. And then the degree to which speakers chose one of the three strategies slightly differed between these sites. So we were doing not only this, the basic experiment, but then we set out to do, I don't know, a series of five or six experiments. And each of these six experiments was actually more than just one experiment. And in each of those experiments, basically, we repeated the same procedure in the six sites that I mentioned. So Niš, Novi Sad, Sarajevo, Zadar, Zagreb, and then Slovenia.
And in Slovenia, you did it, where exactly in Slovenia, which dialects in Slovenia did you examine? Or was it...
We did not pay a special attention to internal okay. Slovenian dialectal mm-hmm. distribution. I mean, differences, because Slovenian has, it doesn't seem to be relevant. No, let's put it like that. But some things we did in Nova Gorica, some things we went to Ljubljana because it was easier to get subjects to do. I mean, the idea was to do 30 subjects per experiment, so which means that you have to test 30 people. Actually, it was sometimes two times 30, so 60 people. We quickly ran out of people here in our university, and we had to go to, I mean, had to go. It was easier to go mm-hmm. to Ljubljana to find more students there.
And the strategy that they preferred, was it based on the country itself, or was it more, what was the result?
Yeah, no, so one of the interesting results was that the groups of people, right, I mean, in Slovenia, as I said, we mixed everything together. But Slovenia is clearly distinct in many other respects. We had to, for the other five sites, they basically used the same list of items, which minimally modified. So, I don't know, a couple of words were different. And then obviously the spelling when it was EA or A was changed to whatever the standard is. In Slovenia, we had to basically create a different list of experimental items, because, and obviously all the questions had to be adjusted. So it was a, you know, it was the same experiment in the sense that it had the same kind of examples, but it had different actual examples, right? So in Slovenia, we said, okay, we will not do that. But then there, in the other parts, we did. And then it turned out that among the five sites, the two most distant ones were Zadar and Zagreb. And the others were sort of closer together, except that Niš and Novi Sad were again further apart. And the funny part again was that Niš and Zadar were actually closer together than Zadar and Zagreb. But this is, you know, expected in the sense that even though, you know, Croatia is obviously, they speak Croatian, but the dialects within Croatia are really distant. I mean, they, in Dalmatia, they speak Ikavica and Čakavski. So, right, they, the reflex of this, whatever Proto-Slavic sound it was, it's E, not E-A as in Zagreb. And the word for what is not što or kaj as in Zagreb, but ča. So it's different in both traditional dialectal groupings. But Sarajevo, Zagreb, and Novi Sad were sort of closer together. I mean, sort of fairly close together, no?
Also because they're closer to the standard, you mean, or...
I mean, I don't know whether they're closer to the standard or not, because, of course, you know, Sarajevo wants to have its own standard, Zagreb has its own standard, Novi Sad has a different standard. But we were testing basically, you know, a fairly, unconscious syntactic rule. So something you're not aware of, so you're not taught. Something that exists clearly, because, you know, we have a way of solving the problem of which agreement to choose, which gender to choose when we have to do agreement on the verb. But we're not taught this, the specific rule how to do it. It's not part of the standard language.
I'm really interested in which of the three solutions did the Southern Serbia choose. Because, I mean, I'm trying to do it in my, because I come from Southern Serbia, and I'm trying to think it in my head, like, how would I do it? But I'm not completely sure what would be my choice of the three that you mentioned. So I'm really interested in what...
So, yes, it's not the case that, you know, a particular site would choose, would only go for one.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it was always... in general, the result, what was...
In all cases, people chose all three options. So I don't remember now the exact details. I would have to look up the actual paper. But so one thing I know is that in Slovenia, the percentage of closest conjunct was the highest. So people were most ready to go for this linearly closest conjunct. Default masculine was the lowest. I believe in Zagreb, going for default masculine was the highest. And then, you know, from, I don't remember now, South Serbia was, in what way was it different? If it would had any specific difference, like it, the differences were not as big as between Slovenia and the other five countries. For example. But I also think that they had, so all the five sites had around 40% closest conjunct agreement, about 40% of default agreement, and about 20% of highest the first conjunct agreement. No? But maybe so. If I remember correctly, in South Serbia, so Niš had slightly less first conjunct agreement. Maybe slightly more than 40% second conjoint agreement, so that it had. But yeah, I'm
okay. Okay, it's just something that
you caught me off guard.
Okay, my last question to you would be about the clitic doubling in Gorica Slovenian about the clitic doubling in general. So when does it happen and why does it happen?
So yeah, clitic doubling is this phenomenon where a argument of the verb receives on top of the argument of the verb that's the object, you also need to say you need to put another clitic inside to double the object. So it's something that exists in some certain Romance languages. It's something that exists in Macedonian and Bulgarian, and potentially Romanian. I'm not sure about Greek and so on. But it's basically, so instead of saying just, I saw him, you say, I saw him. But then one of the him is a clitic, the other one would be a full pronoun. And then because it's a clitic, it needs to be positioned as the other clitic. So it would come out as something like, he see him. So jaz ga vidim njega, or jaz ga njega vidim. So in Slovenian, this was sort of an interesting thing to study, because there are certain generalizations that were proposed by Željko Bošković from 2008 to 2012, a series of papers. And one of them was said that a language that does not have a definite article is not going to have clitic doubling. The easiest thing to imagine this would be, Serbo-Croatian has no definite article, has no clitic doubling. Bulgarian Macedonians have, on the other side, both. So what was interesting here was that in Slovenian, in this the Western dialect of Slovenian, we're not talking about entire Slovenia here. So just in this Gorica Slovenian and then a bit south on the Western border, but anything that's close to Italy, you do have clitic doubling, and you still don't have a definite article. Now, the definite article that I was talking about earlier is different in that it's not really a definite article on the noun phrase. It's not the type of definite article that, as I said, it's known from Bulgarian, Macedonian, Italian, German, and so on. But, it wasn't clear that... it wasn't clear that this is a relevant thing. So anyway, what we tried to show was then that, we don't have a definite article, but that clitic doubling is a clitic doubling that sort of potentially counters the generalization. So as I said, the example would be something like, whenever you have you don't, in Slovenian at least, you don't double any object or any noun phrase that's in the object position, but you only double a full pronoun. So whenever you say in the object position, right? So whenever you say a full pronoun him or her or you or us or them, you would also put a clitic next to it. So as I said earlier, was jaz ga njega vidim, jaz se je nje ne spomnim. In both cases now the clitic and the pronoun were next to each other, but there's no necessity here. So you could say jaz se ga spomnim njega še iz šole, so I remember him already from school and so on. It's very common here in this region. It's hard to say it's obligatory because it's part of the colloquial and dialect, and because everybody is bilingual or bidialectal, then it's hard to say when you have switched from the dialect to the standard or from the dialect to the non-dialectal variety. But again, it is something that is taught at school, that this is not how you're supposed to talk. And
is it also present in the Italian spoken in that region? Or
this part is not clear to me. So to some degree, it's present in Friulian, I think, in this region. But I would think that standard Italian does not have clitic doubling, you know, of this stuff.
Yeah. But I meant like it, maybe because of the language contact, and you said that it's maybe something that's...
Well, the first guess would be that it's part of the language contact, but yeah, I would. So Friulian does have some, I mean, you know, it seems like we know clitic doubling from Romance languages. So it was always, yeah, of course, this is a Roman influence from the neighboring language. But then, as I said, standard Italian doesn't have that. So then which language was then influencing? And then Friulian does have some of that. But yeah, I'm not clear that it's really to this developed to the same degree. It does have some clitic doubling, though. So yeah, I mean, it could be it's part of the contact situation.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for the time that you took. Thank you for the talk.
My pleasure.